I want to open with a little scripture in case it gets crazy in the middle on that bad theology. But in Psalm 139, verse 13, "For it was you who created my inward parts, who knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began." In, I think this might be close, and it's going to sound like a thunderstorm. So, on August 29th, 2009, I cried myself to sleep. This was the first night of a two-week family vacation that I had planned. And I don't know if it was crying from the day of travel, from Springfield, Missouri, to Memphis, Tennessee, to Minneapolis, then on to Fairbanks, Alaska, where we were going to spend a week on a land tour and a week on a cruise. It was my mom, 77 years old, my older brother, 49 years old, and me, this close to my 40th birthday. We were going to spend 2 weeks together. And I was crying because I was tired. I was excited. Just all those emotions. But mainly, I was crying because we were all in the same room, and my brother was snoring so loud that I didn't think I would ever get to sleep again. And when I say I was crying because they were out like lights. And I felt myself getting angry and anxious and probably really wanting to not be with this loving family that took me in. And it actually makes me think of a cry I heard from a great philosopher and theologian, Jerry Clower, when he said once, "Just shoot up here amongst us, one of us has got to have some relief." Now, some of you will get that reference, and some of you think maybe I'm getting just a little too charismatic, so Google that. But that's a great line from a story from one of his great stories. So I prayed, I asked God, I said, well, basically I had to acknowledge I can't fix the snoring the way I wanted to, or the police would detain me and I wouldn't get to spend the rest of my vacation. And so I asked God to change my attitude. And he was going to have to really, not just for one night or one day, he was going to have to ride with me for the next 2 weeks. And I woke up the next day in a great mood, having a great attitude. And it really helped. I thank God for that. And then come to find out, the guy leading our land tour was so good looking, I got to look at him for the next 7 days. So that was terrific. And so for the next 2 weeks, because I chose to submit to how my mom vacations, we went to bed at 8:30 and we were up at 5 drinking coffee. My mom liked the land, the excursions out in the boats so we could see wildlife. My brother got seasick and would doze off because he wasn't sleeping so well at night. And so off we went. My mom told me moments before we started our trip, "Now, we have to sit at tables with strangers, right?" I said, "Yeah, that's what happens when you travel with a group. Well, you're going to have to do all the talking." She said, "After, hello, what's your name, where you're from? I'm not too interested in what people have to say." No pressure, Mom. So off we went. We had a terrific time, a great vacation. But yeah, I'm different. I'm different from these fabulous folks that I completely love and adore. My mom is the cleanest person in the world. Her house is tidy. Some of you are going to say, "Oh, my mom's house is clean. My house is clean." I'll put money down right now and we'll do a tour. I'm telling you right now, her house is tidy. I, on the other hand, if you know me, you know that my bed gets made once a week, and I'm not even the one that does it. I decided a few years ago I could pay for therapy or I could pay for a housekeeper. And it's just... So tomorrow when I roll back into Nashville, Tennessee, my house is going to be pretty darn clean. In fact, my mom came to visit. I don't know why. I think I try and plan this. She and my brother came for 2 weeks over Christmas, because I didn't get enough in August. And she came in and she said, "Your house is really clean. I kind of planned on spending a couple of days getting it together." So she had to readjust her plans. We are really different, but we have so much in common. Because my parents, when they adopted me, were not believers. I am so sorry. Let me see if I can come up with a good plan. If not, I mean, when am I going to see you people again? And so let's move along. My family, they just adopted me. I asked my mom once, when did you figure out I was different? Because, I mean, I am. They're all like this tall, and they're like, worker bees. And I, not so much, because I think my biological folks, and we're eating Cheetos, watching TV all day. I mean, I just know my nature, okay? And watching cable TV, can't get enough of that. But we're different. But I asked my mom once, I said, when did you notice I was different? And she said, well, I never thought of you as different. And I think that is one of the greatest blessings, is like we were just their kids. My brother was also adopted. And but my parents gave me a work ethic. I mean, and it took some while to get it to really sink in. But my parents had their own business. And I mean, from when I was little, I heard my dad say, you give them a good product at a good price with good service, and they will come back. And take care of people. My family loved humor. I mean, to the point where you might be a little uncomfortable. I mean, it's an environment of banter and joking. And, you know, if you get someone to tear up, it's kind of a win. So I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's how my people do it. And I was reminded of the story. I had a cousin, Kenny, one of the older cousins. I'm the youngest of 13 cousins. And my cousin, Kenny, well, my dad died when I was 20. Going to take a serious turn, but we're going to turn it right back around here pretty quick. Well, my dad died when I was 20. And at my own father's visitation, my cousin, Kenny, came in with his family. He had kids, you know, extended family. And I thought, I'm going to get him. And I thought, I can't lose. It's my father's visitation. And he walked up. He was in jeans and a flannel shirt. They came, took off work early. And I said, I can't believe you dressed like that for Dad's visitation. And he looked at me and he said, I just drove 300 miles to look at you, and so far it hasn't been worth the trip. So those are my people. And I love that. I love that. And if you knew who I worked for, you would see how God's hand was in it from the beginning. If you've ever heard of Ed Stetzer, he's a bit witty and likes the banter himself. But even my own mother has made him drop his jaw at her forthright ways. So another thing, a great gift that my parents gave me was they did not hide the crazies of the extended family, except when medically necessary and in, you know, doctor's orders until they were ready to come back out. And I'm not joking. Like the singer said, that's truth. But in my family, one of the gifts that I realized, conservative, uncomfortable Republicans, if you will. I mean, some views that I think, I can't really adopt all that. But women submitting to their husbands, but not without a good, robust discussion. And I have an aunt that her husband doesn't see the need for a dishwasher. I personally would have the house remodeled before he got home from work the next day. But she doesn't do it, but I believe he's paid the price. But seriously, I grew up in a home and in family gatherings where the views were valued. There was discussion on religion, even though we weren't believers, most still aren't. We talked about politics, religion, you know, issues of the day, some right views, some very wrong views, but we were out there and we were discussing them. And I'm thankful because those are some of the gifts that my family has given me in my differences with them, but in the similarities. Sitting around, you know, before Facebook and DVR, we would gather around and listen to Jerry Clower albums. And again, the humor, but the family and the gathering. So those are tremendous gifts of my identity, that I don't walk around thinking, hey, you know, and I'm not saying that's not questions other folks have who've been adopted. I mean, this is just my story. But people will say, do you want to find your biological family? And right now I'm like, oh no, I got plenty. I got lots. and that's a blessing, but I got no need for any more at the moment. And I have 10, 15, 20 homes that if I were in crisis, I could go to and I could stay. What a tremendous gift. Now, after a week, I might be very motivated to get out of the crisis and get back out. But that's a safety net. I know that a lot of people in the homes where they were born to their biological parents don't have. So there's so many gifts. I'm just wanting to share a few things. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, not prescriptive, but just descriptive. Because if I could encourage you with one thing, as you choose to bring these to ministries or in your own life, just bring your babies home. Get them to you. But be careful of the tendency that I hear some of creating a puzzle that needs to be fixed. Leave a little something for the therapist to work out. Just be zealous. Be passionate. My parents were not perfect, and I could tell you things that would bother you and tell you things that would make you hail them as heroes. But we were a family. We are a family. My dad, God moved. God worked. And they were not believers. God pushed his way in. I was led to Christ by high school friends. Had the opportunity to lead my dad, and then my brother became a Christian. My mom, we're still waiting. My dad died when I was 20. I look at that and I say, God uses you as parents and you as churches, but be open to how God will use these children, your sons and daughters, in your lives. Be open, be passionate, but don't worry so much about being perfect. Let Jesus be perfect. Let Jesus do the healing, the calming of the bumps and bruises. In fact, when my dad became a Christian, we'd actually had a very bumpy, tumultuous teenage years. Because remember the robust dialogue by women? I caught on early and practiced it. Didn't always go over real well. But when he became a Christian, he became just like what I saw in his work and how he took care of his family. He became passionate about Jesus and following. Read through the Bible in a year, very focused on following and doing exactly what it said. So be wise, but be wide open and let God be God. And let God bring your families and the other families together and celebrate the healing and the wonderful journey that's ahead of you. Thank you for taking the time to listen. I want to read a few more verses. And think of this and just take courage. God created your babies, your sons and daughters that are out there. He created you. But remember, he's watching you and he's with you for the journey. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. Let's read that again. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This extraordinary knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I live at the eastern horizon or settle at the western limits, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light around me will become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb.